Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Hinckley United Reformed Church, a place that God has chosen for his people to gather together and to worship him. And this has been happening for over 300 years. People gathering to meet and to worship him. Feel free to bless his holy name as we gather together. We are going to have our call of worship with words to respond to in the yellow print. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, and the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness to dash.
The voice of the Lord causes the ox to wail and strips the forest bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the floods. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. We are going to praise the Lord as we sing together, "To the river I am going," and then "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here."
Take my heart.
We give you thanks for your presence in our midst. We acknowledge your love for us, your compassion and your grace. We thank you for who you are to us. We thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to die on the cross on our behalf. We are thankful for calling us to be part of your kingdom. We thank you for the confidence that you have in us as mere people, yet you want to partner with us in your great and mighty, glorious kingdom. And for that, we are thankful. Thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Thank you for your goodness to us and to our families. Thank you for the gifts that you give us as your people.
thank you for the privilege to be part and parcel of your body, to be members of your body, to share in the greatness of your kingdom. Be glorified in this place as we worship you, as we praise you, as we listen to your word. Minister to us to the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So it's always good to experience a moment where you feel God is in our midst. Christine will give us some notices.
Good morning, everyone. There are still one or two people who are not well. As you know, quite a number of people have had COVID recently. And there are others too who have various difficulties. Trevor is still in hospital, so remember him, please. Keith is not with us again this morning, so I guess he's not feeling well enough to come. And Malcolm and Wendy will be at home, as Malcolm now has to stay with her. He won't be able to come to worship, so please bear them in your prayers as well. There are a couple of events just to mention, to remind you of. The Tuesday event this coming Tuesday. So if you haven't given your name to Sue, could you see her please today? And the following Tuesday, there will be a walk. The exact location is not being determined, but it will be local, okay? So see Tony if you'd like to come on the walk. I just want to mention two greetings that we've had from people over the Christmas period. And some of you will know Sally and Andrew Willetts, who now minister in London, because Andrew was a member here before he became a minister. And they've left quite a long letter for us, which is now pinned onto that board at the side there by the stairs, if you'd like to read it. And we've also had a message from Kerry Hurd, that's Betty Hurd's daughter. She says, thank you all so much for your kind gifts, cards and good wishes for my mum, Betty. It means so much to know that you are thinking of her. With love, Kerry. And finally, I'd just like to ask again if anybody knows where the church wheelchair is. I think it's probably been borrowed, but no, I don't think he's got it, no. So if anybody does have any idea, please, can you let me know? Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
We're going to stand up again and we sing together. Spirit of the Living God.
Be seated. Carol.
The reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to see him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Thanks be to God.
We will have the opportunity to give to the Lord as we sing this song on Jordan's bank, "The Baptist Cries."
Baptist, Father, and as the Lord.
Thank you for your goodness that we respond to through these gifts and those given through the banks. We give you glory and we give you praise. We are thankful for who you are to us, for your faithfulness to your covenant with us as your people. Glory and honor and praise to your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to try and share what I feel God has laid upon my heart concerning where we are going to be focusing our attention on as a local church. And I'll try to address, I think, three things that we are going to be focusing on our attention on as a local church. And one of them is we are going to be focusing on proclaiming the kingdom. And we are going to be focusing on discipling one another. And the third thing that we are going to be focusing on is looking after one another as God's people. And I think these three things are important for the life of the church to continue, which the life of the church will continue, because Jesus has said in his word, and I trust him more than any statistics, because he said he is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And in those words, I am so confident that the church will always be there. And I'm assured that God is going to be building his church. It might not look the way we think the church should look like, but the church is always going to be there. And I know that I want to be part and parcel of that church of Jesus Christ. And I don't doubt or fear for the future of the church, because I know the head of the church. I worry about it when I know or I hear that the head of the church is no longer there. But as long as I know that he is there as the head of the church and he is in charge, my confidence is in him. And I know that he is worthy of my trust. Now, John talks about, in this reading, talks about Jesus, who is more worthy than him. And John points the people to Jesus and says, "No, I'm not the Messiah. I may be performing miracles and having signs and wonders and preaching with so much power, but I am not the Messiah. There is one who is going to come. I am baptizing you in the River Jordan, but there is going to be one who is going to come, who is going to baptize you in the power of the Holy Spirit." And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you ordinary people, you are going to be extraordinary people. You are going to be a people that are going to be passionate about the kingdom. The reading of Mark that we had today talks about three baptisms. One, the baptism that John talks about, him baptizing the people that were coming, and he is preaching to them to get ready and to be prepared. And we also see the baptism of Jesus
on the Jordan River, and heaven is open. According to Mark, Jesus sees, and the Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove upon him, and Jesus hears the voice that affirms him as the Son of God, and in whom the Father is so pleased. And from there, we see Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and his public ministry began. And also John the Baptist talks about the baptism that Jesus was going to baptize the people, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he prepares these people to be ready through repentance. So I'm going to be talking about, we are baptized into Jesus Christ, into the life of God, into the kingdom of God, so that we can follow him. The reason why we are being baptized, or we are baptized, is because we want to follow him. We are baptized to follow Jesus. We are members of the kingdom of God so that we can follow Jesus. Our focus and our attention should be on what the writer of Hebrews says, that our eyes are focusing on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's our attention should be, on Jesus, not on the church. Forget about the minister, forget about the elder, forget about any other person. Our attention should be focusing on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the one we are supposed to be following and putting our eyes. Don't take away your eyes from him, because it is him who leads us, guides us, redeems us, and saves us. The moment we take our eyes away from him and begin to look at what the world is saying, or what other people are doing, or what the minister is saying, we miss the mark. The attention, full attention should be focused on him, Jesus, whom we have been baptized into, so that we can follow him fully. We are baptized into him, and our desire should be to know him. Richard was talking about the desiring to know Christ last Sunday. The intention to have a relationship with God. Personal relationship with Jesus is important if we are to follow him. Following Jesus should be driven by our personal relationship, because we spend time with him, we know him, we love him because he loves us. And because we have got a personal, I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about being a member of a group. That's another story. What I'm talking about is having a relationship with Jesus. It is that personal relationship that changes you. It is that personal relationship that pushes you to follow him, because you trust him. You know about him. You have a relationship with him. And Jesus says, my sheep, they know my voice. When I speak, they hear. When I say come, when I say move, they move, because they know my voice, because they have a personal relationship with me. We cannot effectively follow Jesus unless we know who he is to us. And who is Jesus to us? He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is our God. He is our Commander. He is our leader. He is our Redeemer. He is King of all kings. And when he gives us a command, we respond, because we know who he is to us. We have a personal relationship with him. Jesus is not some faraway prophet beyond our reach. As a role model, he is a role model that can identify with us. And through his baptism by John on the River Jordan, he is identifying with us as people, and say, this is the commitment I am making to the kingdom of my Father, and I want you to follow the same footsteps, being baptized and following me as I follow my Father. And he hears the voice of God saying, you are my beloved son in whom I am pleased. He walks on this earth and lived the life on earth, identifying with us so that we can follow him. And by following him, we may know the Father. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth,
and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. So by knowing Jesus as your personal Savior and having a personal relationship with him, then you can know the Father through him. It is through baptism that we affirm the changing power of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And Paul writes to Titus and says, not by works of righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and the regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are made to be heirs through Jesus Christ and through the grace of God our Father, who has poured the Holy Spirit in us upon the church, so that we may be able to understand what it means to be spiritual, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us richly through Jesus Christ, so that we may be able to follow him. We are baptized to proclaim the kingdom. We see John the Baptist doing exactly that in the wilderness, and he was caring less about how people viewed him. And sometimes we struggle to proclaim the gospel or showing God's love and sharing God's message because we are a lot worried about how people will look at us and view us. Personal reputation. Oh, you can't do that. It's important to be in good books with people. But John the Baptist doesn't care about what people think. He goes into the wilderness and he hammers them. He tells them to get ready. He tells them to prepare the way, because God is going the Messiah is coming, and God is going to pour his judgment upon the people if they don't respond to him. And people don't like it. But John the Baptist still continues to speak the gospel. We are called to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, the message of hope, the message of repentance, the message of love, that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. God is calling each and every one of us to proclaim the kingdom to all the people, just as we remember that is our mission that God has given us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, as you go by doing your day-to-day business, make disciples of all nations and teaching them to observe every commandment. Proclaim the good news, the kingdom. Proclaiming and announcing that God loved the people and God wants to have a relationship with him. How do we do that? How do we proclaim the gospel? By sharing our experience with God to the people, telling people what God is doing in our lives, sharing with people what God has been changing in our lives, sharing the experiences, if we have any experiences of God ministering to us. We are sharing the gospel. Why, when we read the Bible, what the Bible is about the stories of people relationship with God, as they walked with God. That's what we read, and that's what we should share. When we are proclaiming the kingdom of God, we are saying to people, this is what God has done in my life. We are sharing with people the reading material, whatever material you might have, tracts, or sharing with somebody, buying somebody a Bible, or sharing a message, or sending them a text. You can share what God, the material, whatever material you have about God. And Paul last Sunday was talking about the random acts of kindness and the reason why we do it. And I did a hospital visit on Saturday, and there were two gentlemen on the other side of the room of one of my congregants that I had gone to see. And I was reflecting, you know, when you are thinking about
what somebody said on Sunday, and you are trying to work out in your head, how do I put this into practice? So I decided to go to the other gentleman on the other side, and I said, is it okay if I pray with you? And the joy of somebody asking you the question and say, why do you want to pray with me? Huh? You don't ask me those things. But then I came and I said, oh, I remember what Paul was talking about on Sunday. I'm doing that. I want to pray with you because God loves you so much. God values you. You are so important that I find it important for me to spend time in prayer with you. Boom, I was surprised how loving and caring he was after that. And we prayed together. And because I smashed it in the first one, I thought I would just go to the other guy on the other side and share with him. Because And I went to him, I said, no, is it okay if I pray with you? And he says, no. I don't want you to pray with me. I am okay as I am. So I humbly went back to my cocoon, but I'm confident that when we do what we are supposed to do, sometimes we smash it, sometimes we have got to go back home with our tails in between our legs, and it's okay. But we need to proclaim, because it is important. If we value the kingdom that we belong to, our responsibility is to proclaim it. And statistics tells us most of the people that attend church do that because somebody has invited them to church. And that's how we can proclaim the message of the kingdom. And hopefully, because I've had an experience or experiences where you invite somebody to the church and your hope as you are doing is to say, hopefully they will get the gospel. They will get the message. And you're hoping so much and praying that whoever is leading the service is going to at least talk about Jesus. And sometimes you walk in and they are talking about Jesus and say, yes, at least they have found it. And sometimes you walk into church and people are not even talking about Jesus. But in all those circumstances, our calling to follow him is to invite people and to let them to say, come and see what God is doing in my life. That's what the disciples were saying. Come and see what this prophet has told me. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, says, oh, no, this gentleman, the prophet, has changed my life. Come to him and he can change your life. We can evangelize the kingdom, or we can proclaim the kingdom by inviting people in our own homes and sharing with them, having a meal and talking about Jesus. Whatever God has blessed us with, he wants us to use whatever we have to share the message of the kingdom. And it is important for us as church, if we are to be effective, to remember that we are called to proclaim the kingdom. Jesus is led into the wilderness for preparation, and he comes out to proclaim the kingdom. And Jesus is talking more about, in the gospel, you see, Jesus talks more about the kingdom than church. He wants people to be part of the kingdom of God, and to proclaim the message. Jesus wants us to follow him, and when we follow him, we proclaim the message of the kingdom. Jesus wants us to follow him so that we can make disciples. Making disciples, discipling. Simply, we are disciples of Jesus because we are imitators of Christ. We see what, so personal relationship is important, so that we can see what Jesus is doing in his word and in the gospel, and then we can imitate those things. We can try to do like him,
And sometimes we do it well, sometimes we don't do it well. We fail, and it's okay. We pick up our rags and we walk again, we try again. And sometimes we get it right and we rejoice, and sometimes we fail. But our main emphasis is for us to be making disciples. Jesus says in the Great Commission, and teaching them to observe every command that I have taught you. So it's not enough to just invite people and hope they get the gospel and be baptized. We have a responsibility to disciple one another, discipling, walking with one another as we minister in the kingdom of God. Jesus does not do ministry alone, but he walks alongside others to support them, and them supporting him and supporting each other. So when you are discipling another person, when you are walking alongside another person in the faith, you are helping them to grow. They are also helping you to grow. So you are discipling one another. God wants us to be disciples of each other as we all follow Jesus Christ. How are we going to learn how to pray unless we have somebody who says with us, let's pray together? How are we going to learn how to study the Bible unless we have somebody who says, oh, let's look at Mark chapter 4. What is it saying to you? What can you pick from this passage? That's part of discipleship. We are a family with more than one person, and we are a body with many parts, and we are the temple of God with many bricks. Each and every one of us has got a role to play in the kingdom. You are responsible for discipling me. I am responsible for discipling you. And that is how the kingdom works. Iron sharpens iron as we walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Making disciples is all about learning from each other and as we worship and we serve God. Discipling is about learning alongside others and teaching others and also learning from others. We don't know everything. I might appear like I know everything, but you have a part to play in my life. So don't ever underestimate yourself to say, oh, what can I give him? You are so vital. You are part of the kingdom. You are part of the jigsaw. My life is going to be better in the future because of my interaction with you. Your input into my life is what is going to make me better. So whatever God inspires you to input in my life, as much as I input into your life, we sharpen one another. That's all about discipleship. You are discipling me. Whoever you are walking alongside with in a home group or in a Bible study or on Thursday at the fellowship, you are discipling one another. And it's important for you to take that seriously. We are called to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, we care for one another. And church is all about caring for one another. When your brother or your sister is bleeding, when your brother or your sister is struggling, you are there to pray for them. You are there to listen. You are there to give them a shoulder to cry on. You might not have the words to say, you don't have to worry about that. And there are many situations, as much as I think I have got experience, but there are many situations that I've experienced in my life where I don't know what to say. And you might not believe it, but there are certain situations where I've got nothing to say because I've got no idea what I should say. But I find it important to just sit there and do nothing. And then you hear somebody says, after that and says, oh, thank you for your support. And you're saying, I prefer what I call support. If I say something that is full of wisdom, boom, I love that. And I think that's support. But when somebody thanks me for not saying anything, I struggle with that. But that is where the key is. We are there to support one another. So not having the gift to speak is not a hindrance for you supporting one another. Not being able to pray and having prayers and whatever. You have to be supporting another person by just being you and being there, being concerned, making a phone call and checking on your sister and brother in Christ, checking how they are, be interested in what they are going through. And that's our responsibility. That is what the kingdom is all about, looking after one another. We are never created by God to be individualistic. We are called by God to be a community, and a community that supports one another. That is what church is all about. Jesus says, by this commandment shall all men know and women that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. They will be drawn unto you because they are seeing what you are doing for one another. Sometimes my heart bleeds when I hear people, you know, walking and slugging their brothers and sisters. Some probably 20 years ago, I had somebody who came to want to be part of my church, and they had this fantastic conversation of how bad their minister was. Now, if you have ever listened to those slugging, hammering and smashing that you can almost, thinking, so I was having a conversation, does he know this? Have you heard the word? Oh, he doesn't listen, blah, 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 and all this. And I know I was highly arrogant, I should acknowledge that. I said, I would struggle to have you being part of our church because I know one day, instead of you going and building the kingdom, you are going to be saying the same and smashing and slugging. And not. I'm not saying we shouldn't challenge one another, because I talked about discipling one another, challenging one another, confronting one another and say, what you are doing, brother, is not okay. We need to do that in the kingdom of God. But when we don't sharpen one another and having conversations and building one another up, instead we go and slug one another. And people then say, I don't want to be part of the church. And I know we have done terrible things as church. I acknowledge that. But most of the time, we don't want to build. We are good at slugging instead of caring one for another. We are a body of Christ, and we shouldn't devour one another. But we sharpen one another. Because sometimes when we are sharpened, I don't like it. I don't like it when people tell me that I'm not doing it right. I don't like it, I can assure you that. But I need it. So it's not about what I like or what you like, but what you need for us to care. Caring one for another is important. You correct, you build, because you care. And we are called by God to have a personal relationship. And in that personal relationship that we have with Christ, it is going to influence us to proclaim the kingdom. As we proclaim the kingdom, we make disciples of all nations, and we care one for another. Amen. We sing together the kingdom of God, and then Paul will lead us in the time of intercession.
Let us pray. Lord, mighty God, we thank you for our baptism that calls us to follow you. You are the glory in our humble lives. You are our strength when we are weak, the constant in an ever-decaying world, the light in the darkness of ignorance and chaos. We thank you that you have answered our prayers and become our salvation. We remain in you, and you have answered our prayers before they are uttered. Lord, we bring those before you that need your healing touch. Those that you have brought together in this church, and those you have given us the privilege to know. We pray for healing for those broken in body, mind, and in spirit. We pray for your peace in broken lands. We pray that in all circumstances you bring us closer to you. We pray for understanding that true healing is restoration with you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of your great commission, for our equipping and the value you place in us to witness. We ask forgiveness when our fears hold us back from declaring your name. We thank you for your loving grace that despite our stumbles, you call upon us again to proclaim your glory. Embolden us, Lord, that we understand the mission placed in our hearts, and as a church, to go beyond these walls to sing your praises. Let us sing to you a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Let us sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Let us declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. In the name of your holy, holy Son, Jesus. Amen. Let us say the prayer taught to us by our Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. We stand up as we are able, and we sing our closing hymn, which is, Dear Lord and Father of all people, forgive our foolish ways. May the Lord bless us as we follow and desire to know him by the power of his resurrection. We share grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.